This book does what good fiction is supposed to do.
It does what good fiction is supposed to do.
Right? You're rethinking some of your assumptions. Mm. And some of them that you hold on to really strongly, not necessarily, but some is just kind of passive, like, oh, I hadn't thought about this.
Yeah. Welcome to Proofread, a podcast to help you read more of what you love and less of what you don't.
Okay, hello and welcome to Proofread. My name's Casey. I love to read. I read lots of books. I make a lot of time for it because I can. I'm in a place in my life where I can. This is Tyler.
I'm an English professor. I have a PhD in American literature. I run a writing center at a university now, and I have a great time doing it. But as any, you know, buddy will tell you that your work life prevents you from reading as much as you want. I'm also a father. I have three kids, and the youngest, they're all under 12. So time at home is, you know, wild and crazy. And work, I do a bunch of reading, but it's not always exactly what I want to read for fun all the time. And so this is a great time for me to be thinking about what if I had time to read for fun, what would I read? And so that's the goal of this podcast, is to help us think through how might you spend your time if you have it? What should you be reading next?
So we read a book today.
Yep.
We read a book called James by Percival Everett.
I'm holding it up even though it's just me and you.
It's a beautiful cover.
It's just me and you, and I'm showing you it.
I wanted to read this book because this book is on a lot of just like best books of the year, which is where I often get a lot of recommendations for books that I end up loving.
Yeah.
When I read this, I thought this would be an amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that?
I thought that, yeah. This would be a fun movie to watch.
It is going to be...
Fun is a weird
not
word.
Fun.
Not fun. This would be...
Compelling.
Compelling, that's the right word.
Steven Spielberg is going to make a movie out of this.
Mm.
And guess who might direct it?
Nope. I don't guess.
Taika Waititi.
Oh, really?
Interesting, right?
Yeah, that would
right.
really lean into the zaniness part of this.
Lean into the zaniness. This book is fiction. It is a retelling, a new telling of the story of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, which itself is a sequel to Tom Sawyer. You know that because you have a... Why am I telling you this? You have a PhD in American
I can't
literature.
Is it a sequel? Was Huck Finn the original
it's a
Tom
sequel.
Sawyer?
Yeah,
the sequel?
Tom Sawyer was first, but Huck Finn, people seem to like it better.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Had you heard about it?
The first time I heard about Huckleberry Finn or about this book?
Have you ever heard of Huckleberry Finn?
I was going to say, the first time I read Huckleberry Finn, can I tell you a true story?
Please.
I was at my friend's house, and they will tell you this is a true story. They were playing a video game, and I don't have the motor skills for our attention span for video games. And he had a Young Illustrators classic version of Huck Finn. And I pulled it off the shelf and read the whole thing in his bedroom while him and my other buddy Parker played a video game for
and
a couple hours.
How old were you?
Too young.
You
I don't
poor
remember.
Poor little nerd.
I was
and
such
then I got
a nerd.
PhD in American literature.
That's exactly. That's exactly what they said the whole time. Yeah.
I love it. This
but that was
perfect.
My first experience with Huckleberry Finn. It's a part of my childhood. But yeah, I similarly came upon this in a similar way, just kind of saw some news about it and caught some attention and was really interested. A lot of the work I did as a graduate student was really thinking about this pre-Civil War America time period. I spent a lot of time thinking about Uncle Tom's Cabin, which was written by Harriet Beecher Stowe. And it seems like in some ways that a book like this is a direct response to some of the criticism that Uncle Tom's Cabin always gets for creating one-dimensional black characters.
Yeah, for sure. So... we're going to do read or skip.
I got it.
One, two, three.
Read.
So you want to say why to read?
You know, it's hard to recommend literary fiction to people sometimes. But I think one thing about this book is that it engages a really meaningful kind of topic.
For sure.
In a really compelling way. And,
yeah.
And what I mean by that is I read this book in like 2 days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's for me. It's just like I was really drawn in and interested. I should say I'm interested in this time period already and different things like that.
Yeah, me too.
But on a compelling want to read the next thing. And from a level of two, it's not gimmicky, right? Like it's not gimmicky. Oh, it was just this really like, here's the story. You know the story already. So it's not a bunch about of the background. The
it's
assumption
kind of fun
is
in that way.
You've kind of been familiar with the setting. And then it's just all about from this character of Jim who is pretty one-dimensional in Huckleberry Finn, right?
He's pretty one-dimensional in Huckleberry Finn, and he's so interesting. And reading it from this perspective in this year, you know, a modern version of it, it's surprising because it's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's really funny. But the subject matter is no laughing matter.
No.
I mean, it's like, these are escaped slaves. It's very, a very tough time period.
Yeah.
And I will say, so the reason why I would say read it with the caveat that this is a very solidly PG-13 book, right? And that's why it's hard to recommend fiction to other people, because some people don't want challenging material, or this book has a swear word in it. It has a big swear word in it. And it does have, sadly, sexual assault in this book. Not graphic, PG-13, but, you know, then there's a little bit of violence, because sadly, shamefully, that is just part of the subject matter when you talk about slavery. So I just found myself, even though I read Huck Finn and I know about history, this, and there's so many prequels and there's so many reboots and all of that, like, I think people kind of get sick of it. And yet, it just makes the case that a different point of view is really all you need that can create value in this story. And it's actually very handy that I already know kind of the story, right? So I'm not like memorizing what year is this and all that. I like kind of, I can picture it immediately.
But do you feel like you needed that to understand it? I mean, that's a nice experience,
no,
but
you
don't have to read Huck Finn.
You certainly don't need to have read Huck Finn.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that it's told from another point of view is what gives it value. And it's the point of view of James, the slave. And it's really interesting and cool. And one thing, this is a tiny spoiler, but I'm going to say it. It happens really fast.
Check with legal to her right.
Early. This thing about, you know, the way that Jim is portrayed in Huck Finn, and if you haven't read Huck Finn, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like if you read Br'er Rabbit, or, you know, like if you've seen the Jim Crow cartoons from the olden days, the way they would have maybe people of color, the way they talk, and kind of this like not smart way. And in this book, James speaks like that to Huck and around his owners and white people. But when he's with other slaves, they don't talk like that. They're doing it on purpose. It's their code shifting. It's a construct, because they often get beaten if they're perceived as trying to act, quote unquote, uppity or smarter than their the people who own them. And I thought that was just such an interesting, clever, little creative retelling of the story. And it leads to some like kind of funny parts.
Yeah.
And there's like some layered irony, but also some really poignant parts.
Yeah, that seems like the significant moment is this development of this code switching back and forth. It's James's code switching for the ignorant white folks,
right,
you know, and it really causes you to rethink, if you need to, right? Rethink the way that you've just thought about that whole Huck Finn story and a whole kind of that whole time of history. I think is really helpful.
It isn't gimmicky. This is this code shifting and showing how he is when Huck Finn isn't there, you know, he's with other people of color. It's just so revealing, and it just humanizes, it makes you see he's not one-dimensional. And another thing, it made me realize some things like the myth of the good slave owner. And so that was something that I realized was a little bit of a trope that I might have taken for granted that was helpful for me to reconsider.
Sounds to me like, Casey, what you're suggesting is that this book does what good fiction is supposed to do.
It does what good fiction is supposed to do.
Right? You're rethinking some of your assumptions. And some of them that you hold on to really strongly, not necessarily, but some that's just kind of passive, like, oh, I hadn't thought about this, right? I hadn't thought about this idea of like, oh, well, hopefully some people were better than others back then. Like, ultimately, that's not even a thing to think through, right? Or to think on that level, I think.
And it's just so innovative. It's just so clever and creative, and such a thing to pull off. And it reminds me, I keep bringing up about Taika Waititi, but one of my favorite movies is Jojo Rabbit. Did you see Jojo Rabbit?
I did not.
Oh, I should have brought you that and given it to you as a gift. Well, it's about Nazis and Hitler, and it's laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
Not something you would expect.
Right.
And this book, I think, is similar. So I was kind of interested to see because it's so poignant and yet so funny. But I'm really kind of interested to see it as a movie. But reading it as a book was also a real treat.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I wanted to tell you, there's a part in this book where Jim is shackled around.
Yeah.
And a couple years ago, after COVID for a couple of years, I was working with an education project in the prison. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still a big advocate for, that's how much I love reading. I feel like it's so good for everyone to read. So, and I would go into this prison and I saw people who were shackled. They're shackled to their desks. It really was a horrible thing to see. And I've seen, you know, images from this time period and artwork and things like that. I'd read Huck Finn and I've seen Roots, like all of that stuff. But since having this experience, I just thought about being shackled really differently. Like, it's a really big deal.
I mean, even as you're talking there, I mean, for me, I think just like so much of thinking about slavery and just this experience is, in one thing, this book is just a meditation on violence, mm-hmm. right? Just from beginning
yes.
to end, thinking through it. Well, the violence that just festers throughout is awful, but you end having read the book. For me, I think the reason I said, you end having this book having, you know, this interesting experience, interesting journey that you just went on, and also something significant to think about, which yeah. I think is, for me, I think why I would recommend it is, That's the kind of way you want to engage with difficult matters, I think.
Yeah. It's a little challenging, but this isn't completely demoralizing. It's still like kind of a fun book.
Yeah.
And it's just so darn clever.
I would say that is it is so smart and fun. It's and like so you said, layered.
Smart.
It is
it's
so layered. And we just, you know, talked about before, like, let's not try to be literary critics here in this book. Like, just celebrate the book for what it does yeah. well, I think.
It's a good read. It's a great story. This character is likable, but not perfect.
Yeah.
It's not a morality play, you know. He's yeah. not necessarily, there's bad guys, but it's complicated.
And sometimes you see books that are on these best, you know, best of the year kind of things, and then you read them and you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I get why someone deals with something really heavy, and so that's probably why it got all this attention. But, like, as a read, it was kind of a snooze, you know, something
exactly.
like that. And I think that's another thing I'm excited about this book was that it deals with something super important. And like we said, it makes you think, you know, you're thinking a lot while you read this book, and you're pleasantly surprised at certain turns in the narrative and things.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what really makes it a good book. You're thinking a lot, but you're having it's a pleasant read when you, like I said, I did it really quickly. So.
Yeah. There's this one part where James, like, comes upon another person who becomes his friend, and he's another fellow slave, and he just says, "Don't you just hate being sold?" I feel bad laughing at it, but, like, it's there's just this tone that is so
yeah.
interesting. And
they're
cool.
gonna have to. They're gonna have to read it to get the
you
tone, so that they don't think
it.
Terribly
you
of you,
read
right?
It, but yeah. like, it's just so interesting. And I want to read a quote from the book.
Yeah,
because here's another spoiler alert. James can read, and he has books he's looking at. He doesn't want Huck to see him looking at the books because he doesn't want Huck to know he can read. Because you just get in bigger trouble if you are a slave. It's illegal. You can't read as a slave. You can't teach a slave to read. So there's all this just like. It was so serious. The stakes were so high. But I love this. Reading is subversive. Mm-hmm. This is so us. So he's like, I could just be staring at a book. How does he know I can read? You know, but he's worried. And he says, "At that moment, the power of reading made itself clear and real to me. If I could see the words, then no one could control them or what I got from them. They couldn't even know if I was merely seeing them or reading them, sounding them out or comprehending them. It was a completely private affair and completely free and therefore completely subversive." That is so punk rock. Reading is subversive. And you might
you
just be staring
read.
There. You might, or just stare at the words. Nobody
yeah.
even knows.
This is a great book.
Okay, let's say what shelf we're going to put it on.
Yeah. The shelf that I would put this on is, you know, certain people I would recommend this strongly to, right? Mm-hmm. And it's somebody that is, like you said, is fine with a PG-13 kind of recommendation.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, PG-13 is so cool, but it's this is dealing with a serious topic. It's dealing
yeah.
with violence,
right?
Real human violence, and it depicts that violence. But it's not Quentin Tarantino film, right? This is not Django Unchained, right?
Oh my gosh.
So something like that, right? Like that is the differences. Yeah, you're going to tackle some serious issues, but it's a good read. This is a book I would freely recommend with that caveat of it's serious, but something akin to, like you're saying, a JoJo. I didn't see JoJo Rabbit, but that kind of a genre.
Yeah. The shelf I would put this on would be a shelf that's called Important.
Yeah.
I think it's important. It was important to me that I read this book.
Okay, so I have a shelf that's like important, but like not great to read, like not a great reading experience.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, I think the real magic of this book is important, good read.
Yeah.
There's like important, like you should read it before you die because it's like, I don't know. And then there's like good read, important.
Which frankly, maybe Huck Finn is on that shelf. But this is an important good read.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's a, yeah.
All right, Percival Everett.
Percival Everett, you've done it again. You've been proofread. I am very skeptical of Casey's views. So
that's okay. That's fair. That's fair. That's very fair.
Will our listeners catch the sarcasm, Casey? I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Proofread is a production of BYU Radio and is produced by Jeff Simpson with help from Erica Price, Becca Hurley, and Lisa Valentine Clark. Find us on YouTube at Proofread Podcast for video clips and more. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for spending your time with us today, and happy reading.